Welcome to the Witty Committee. I'm Claire.
And I'm Courtney. And this week we are reading Envy, the third book in the Lux series. But before we talk about everything that is so envy-worthy, Claire, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you've been reading, watching, doing, etc. outside the podcast this Christmas holiday week?
So last week I was talking about how I was reading Patrick Rothfuss's book series, The Name of the Wind, and how it was recommended to on a, like a podcast. Well, so it was recommended to me by like this guy I met who was also really into fantasy books, but I had seen it on a TikTok as like being a Harry Potter. Like, if you like Harry Potter, read this. And I was like, I don't get that. Okay, I do understand now because it is about partially a magic school.
Okay.
Like a young guy going to a school about magic.
Sure.
But it's so much better than Harry Potter. It was so good that it's like a thousand. So I love Harry Potter for what it is in being like fantasy world building. I love anything like that. I love Harry Potter. I love Lord of the Rings. I love anything that's like a deep dive into world building. And these books are that as well. So it is one of those things where like you follow along with the main character and like you feel genuine joy and genuine sadness when things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So highly recommend. I just bought the second book. I'm starting it. I'm so excited about it. But basically, the premise is that this very famous, like, storybook figure almost is going back and telling a scribe the story of his life. So this is someone that, like, songs and tales are made up about, and he's, like, setting the record straight on his life story. So it's really good. It's, you know, if you're into fantasy at all, you know, I've talked in the past about how much I love Robin Hobb. I still think Robin Hobb is like my favorite fantasy author, but these books have a very similar vibe. Highly, highly recommend to anyone who is into fantasy. Courtney, what about you? What have you been reading, watching, doing outside the pod?
I have been power ranking a bunch of new to me Christmas movies, which has been awesome.
Okay. What do you think? So last week I recommended to Courtney Your Christmas or Mine.
Very good.
Because I watched it and I knew that she would like it. And I think I mentioned it last week when we were talking about it, not on the podcast. But it's a BBC produced one that went on to Amazon Prime. And it's the guy from Sex Education and A New Girl. And it's very cute. And parts of it are very sad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get pretty much everything. You get different kinds of Christmases. You get grouchy old man. You get a dog. You get dead mom. Here's my thing about Christmas movies is that there's always a dead mom or like a dead wife. There is never a widow. There's only ever a widower.
Yeah, like the holiday.
The number of Christmas movies that are this, it's pretty much all this.
Like, wait, and then that one, The Princess Switch, where the like one of the love interests has a daughter.
Yeah.
The Vanessa Hudgens one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Or the one that I watched after Your Christmas or Mine, Something from Tiffany's, which was also very good. Dead mom. Actually, dead moms.
I'll Be Home for Christmas, the one from Disney Channel from the 90s with Jessica Biel's in it.
Ooh.
The main character is like that kid who was super hot in the 90s that was in all those movies. He's got a three. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, yes. He's the main character. He's got a dead mom and a new stepmom. Mm-hmm. So like his whole thing is that he doesn't like his new stepmom. So he doesn't want to go home for Christmas.
The Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie. She has a dead mom. And then the love interest, Troutmouth, has a dead wife and a daughter.
Trouty Mouth.
And also there's never. He's the love interest in that.
He's got a daughter. Huh. Were you going to say there's never a son?
I was going to say there's never a son, but the boy love interest in Your Christmas or Mine is the one with the dead mom. So I guess that sort of counteracts that.
No, but the widower never has sons. They always have daughters.
Yeah.
Except for Love Actually. But that's not his son. That's his adopted son. That's his, like, stepson.
The point being, there's never a widow. Widows aren't sexy. You know, we got to make the widow sexy. Just not unlike how the dad bod was sexy, and then the mom bod never really took off. The widower is sexy because he's sensitive, because he can provide for a family. And then someone else can come in, but then she doesn't have to get pregnant and thereby ugly. So
is it like a thing where men have to learn how to deal with their trauma? Is that what's exciting to you?
It's one of those things where it's like men will literally have a dead wife before going to therapy. Not unlike how in this book, men will literally go to war rather than go to therapy.
That is true. I would have to say the first book that we read in the series, I texted Courtney and I was like, I am so bored. We like almost dropped and didn't do the rest of the series.
Yeah, there this was book, it was the day that we recorded the first episode. We were strongly considering pivoting entirely to a different series.
Because the first book was just so bland. Elizabeth was so boring. I would have to agree that Elizabeth has stayed really pretty boring, with the exception of things that happened to her. Not things that she does herself, but anyway.
Very much poor little rich girl.
Yeah, this book changed my... Well, I mean, like, last book was pretty eventful, but this book changed my mind. This book felt like a soap opera.
I will say the thing about this book for me and Elizabeth vis-a-vis other characters, we talk a lot about, like, the mean girl in these books. That's, like, part of the core concept of the podcast. And oftentimes I will particularly find myself rooting for the mean girl character.
Yeah.
In this book specifically, fuck Penelope. Honestly, get out of here. Oh God,
she's horrible.
She's not. Yeah. Like, I'm so tired.
There's nothing
and done
redeemable
with you.
About her. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
the main thing is that.
I was just going to say, even when she falls apart at the end, like, I'm still just like, okay, I don't feel
deserved,
bad for you.
Right. Like, yeah. I think the thing is that with other mean girls that we've seen, we get more, as we learn more and more about them, we learn more about their redeeming qualities, like, throughout the books. But the more we learn about Penelope, the less, the fewer redeeming qualities she has. Like, you learn more about her, and it's almost like she's entirely rotten all the way through. Like, she has no redemption.
And even everyone else who even has, like, a passing interest in her begins to discover that in this book.
Yeah.
Which at least we have that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So, this book starts 2 months after the end of the Schoonmaker Hayes wedding, and Elizabeth is back in New York, but she's not out in society yet, and so Diana has had to kind of go out and be the face of the Holland family instead. She's also making a pretty penny writing for the Gamesome Gallant gossip column.
Say that 5 times fast.
I would not like to, but one thing that I would like to note is that so at the beginning of each chapter in these books are excerpts from either like society novels or like guidebooks at the time or from the papers. And the excerpts we get of Diana's writing are sometimes really awful, horribly written. And I'm like,
to
okay,
be fair, Diana has no education, even like in terms 16. Of getting the, not even just being 16, but like Elizabeth, when she was Diana's age, was getting private tutored. And yes. Elizabeth was supposed to private tutor Diana when she got back from Paris, but then instead she ran away to California and now she is just the shell of a human person not doing anything. So Diana has no education.
But she's being like praised as having this like great wit. And I'm like, you guys are writing a gossip column. You're not going to win a Nobel Prize for this, or Pulitzer, whatever it is. You're no like cutting edge journalists. But anyway, so Diana is out in public also to kind of get information for her column that she's assisting on. The main problem with that is that she has been trying to assiduously avoid
assiduously. That's a good word choice.
Assiduously. I like that word. But anyway, she's been trying to avoid the new Mr. and Mrs. Schoonmaker, Penelope and Henry, at all turns, which is difficult because Penelope is determined to be seen out on the town as like a couple with Henry, despite the fact that he has to be rip-roaring drunk to be around her at any time. And I also just would like to caution anyone who struggles with alcoholism, don't read this book.
Ooh, also, there's a ton of, like, weird weight stuff in this one specifically. Like, it's always yes. been a little bit like, she had a waspy waist, but every other page was talking about how small someone's face waist is.
Yes.
Or the calves,
arms.
Or the two things that we get about Philip Buck and about how, like, Philip Isaac Buck?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever his three-person name is. About how fat he is.
Yes, and then we also get a lot of negative self-talk from Carolina and from Diana, who are both noted by others for being, like, incredibly beautiful.
Sure.
And so I just would like to, I mean, the body talk aside, but I would really have to caution anyone who struggles with any kind of alcoholism or drinking issues from reading these books, because the way that they discuss alcohol, specifically with Henry, is kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got problems in this. He's got an alcohol problem. Grayson Hayes, so Penelope's brother, has a gambling problem out the wazoo.
I watched a TikTok recently
that was talking about, like, how much people actually drank back in these days, or, like, the Founding Fathers days, like, any of these, like, hundreds of years ago before they did. Because you didn't
drink water.
Yeah, like, before they did Prohibition and everything. And it was, like, insane. Like, even not just, like, the number of drinks that they had, which was just crazy, but, like, the amount of alcohol in said drinks. Insane.
Yeah. Also, just because there was, like, a general understanding. I mean, think back even to, like, Middle Ages. Like, you would wake up and have your breakfast ale. Like, the only things that were safe to drink were alcohol because they were fermented enough to kill bacteria. Like, yeah.
And they had tea, which was safe because you boiled it.
Exactly. But your options were to have tea or to be drunk all the time. So take that into consideration when looking at our history. But anyway, Henry has to be pretty much intoxicated this entire book in order to stand being around Penelope. And his way of getting out of this is that he has planned an impromptu trip to Palm Beach to go fishing with Teddy Cutting. And upon hearing this, Penelope decides, well, you can't go alone. I must go with you. And so assigns herself the task of following him there. They have also both been assigned the task of providing an heir, basically, by Henry's father in time for the mayoral race. Basically being like, you have a year and a half, and I would like to have a grandson by then. And Henry's like, nothing would disgust me more than that idea. And so Penelope is insistent on following Henry to Palm Beach, and she realizes this is going to give her the opportunity to do a couple of things at once. So she goes to what is meant to be Elizabeth's first kind of, like, coming out back into society luncheon hosted at the Holland House, which is an attempt to kind of find a middle ground because Elizabeth can't fathom leaving the house. And upon arrival, she brings Carolina Broad with her as, like, what is meant to be, like, a cutting. I don't know what she meant to do by that, honestly.
Yeah, I think she meant to, like, throw Elizabeth off her game, which it does happen because Elizabeth is, like, confronted by Carolina. Carolina is really there with, like, more motivation, but she's also sort of thrown off. And Elizabeth basically admits to Carolina that, like, she and Will got married, as if that would endear Carolina to her a little bit. And then as soon as she says that, she's like, I hope Carolina doesn't use that against me somehow. I wonder what will happen.
Yeah. And then she also realizes, well, Diana later realizes where Penelope got the information about her sleeping with Henry. And she realizes she likely got it from Carolina. And I'm like, yeah, this girl's not your friend. Like, you guys treated her horribly for the first 17 years.
You guys treated her okay. They treated her the way that she was intended to be treated by the context of this society.
Yeah. I agree.
Is it how we, like, historical relativism aside, sure, being forced to live in, like, servants' quarters or whatever, not great. But they didn't, like, throw shit at her.
No, they didn't. They were relatively kind to her. And they were even friends with her for a good number of years. But also, being a servant in that day and age would not have been easy. So, I don't know. Context on both sides. But Carolina's doing pretty well for herself. She's still being put up by Mr. Longhorn, which is a horrible name, and I would like the author to go back and reconsider that and just change it to, like, long heart or something. Like, long horn just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It just sounds like, reminds me of Longhorn Steakhouse, and I don't love that.
Ooh.
I've actually never been to a Longhorn Steakhouse.
You know what? It's not horrible.
I've heard it's actually okay. So, you know, wouldn't pass that up. But I feel like I'd rather go to Texas Roadhouse, get those rolls.
You know where I've never been? Red Lobster.
I also have never been there, well, you're and I allergic, will not be going so. With you. Yeah.
I thought about this a lot recently. You and Lisa are both allergic to shellfish. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, at your wedding, yeah, you can't have a raw bar or, like, you'll be kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Did you want to have a raw bar?
I didn't
want to
have a raw bar, but I do like shellfish.
Okay, well, then you can eat it, but just, like, not be that close to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
As long as we don't make out, we'll be fine.
Well, I just remember that time that you went to that
wedding.
Well, no, I just remember that time that you went to that wedding and then, like, they had so much shellfish and you, like, had to leave the room.
Yeah, but you would not be that grossly.
Yeah, I just don't want to, like, push you in a position where you have to leave the room.
This was a raw bar and each plate was being served with stuffed prawns. Like, and then when they were like, oh, we'll take them off your plate, I was like, it does not work like that.
Yeah, that's not how allergies work. But anyway. Speaking of food services, so at this luncheon, Penelope floats the idea of Elizabeth coming with her as, like, a guest to this Florida trip. And then it spirals and becomes so many people.
It does. It spirals for many reasons. But the reason she wanted to kind of have Elizabeth come with her is to kind of dispel any notion that Penelope and Henry are on rocky footing. Because people have not seen Elizabeth out. So they think that she might still be upset with her friend for basically stealing her husband, like her fiancé, mm-hmm. When Elizabeth was quote unquote kidnapped by Will. And Elizabeth realizes that she could do a couple of things. So she could hide, say no, and run away from Penelope, or she could start to stand up for herself, and by standing up for herself, also stand up for her sister, who she recognizes really does love Henry. And so she says, oh, of course I'll come, but Diana will have to come with me. And Penelope can't really disagree to this in front of all of their friends without being seen as, like, you know, having a reason to. So she says, of course Diana can come, and then Carolina also can come. And then this guy, Leland Bruchard.
Yeah, Leland. So he is fancy because he owns a horseless carriage. Ta-ta.
A car. But they joke about it being called a horse's carriage. And so everyone kind of gets ready to go down to Palm Beach. And they're going to go to a hotel that is basically the Breakers. Which is what I'm going to call it because if you know anything about Palm Beach, it's basically that. And I cannot remember the actual name. And I think it was like the Pontchartrain or something.
The Grand it was almost like Poinsettia, but it wasn't Poinsettia.
That's what I thought. I also thought it was like Poinsettia, but it's basically the Breakers Hotel.
Get down to Florida by taking the train. But, and this is something that I don't necessarily understand about, like, 1900s motor travel or, like,
so
train travel.
I can tell you about this because I looked it up.
Okay, great.
So they take the train by taking the Schoonmaker's private rail car. And how that works is that a train is kind of like a bunch of Legos.
Yeah.
That individually are one Lego but can link up in a bunch of different combinations. So say you wanted to take a rail car. So if you remember in one part of it, Leland and Carolina are on the back of the rail car.
Ooh, yeah, that's
so
traumatic.
Traumatic. But what they basically did is they just kind of took the Schoonmaker's Lego.
Yeah.
And hooked it onto the back of the line of other Legos that were already going that direction.
For sure.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah, because I was trying to understand, like, okay, so they have their own train car, and I was like, that implies that it's not their own train. But then there are other people who are on the train who are not in their party. Like, there are soldiers who the boys all gamble with, and the soldiers are like, we're shipping out to the Philippines. I don't know. I unfortunately
did
not
do
any. But they had been, someone had died in the Philippines. One of their family members
in
had
Cuba.
Died. They talk a lot about the Philippines.
Spain. Spain. Yes,
yeah.
You're correct.
So it's part of a larger war about colonialism, etc. And Henry is sitting there and he's like, wow, I am such a bad person. I am sitting here lusting over a 16-year-old girl, married, can't have a baby because I hate my wife. and
very drunk.
Oh yeah, they're drunk. Grayson Hayes, who is there because Penelope wanted to bring along a friend who could like.
Which question?
Mm-hmm.
Is Grayson not 27?
Grayson is definitely an adult, and he has been crushed upon by Isabel, who is Henry's
25.
Stepmom and is 25. So
laying that groundwork for later, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so Penelope brings Grayson along on this trip because she wants to have an ally, and that ally she has determined, like, she can't trust Carolina to, like, know what to do and, like, how to behave because, obviously, she was a maid 6 months ago. So, act like you've been there before. Yeah. And Carolina was almost not going to go on this trip in the first place. So, it's a good thing that Penelope brought Grayson.
Yes, because Mr. Longhorn was like, I'm not feeling too well. I think you should stay. And she says, but I've never been off this island, which she later contradicts by saying that she's been to Coney Island, which, while being...
And also, she was allegedly from Utah, quote unquote. I'm a copper smelting heiress from the West.
Yes, yes. But anyway,
and also apparently she met Elizabeth in Paris. So, like, what are you talking about? Keep your lies straight.
Well, he knows that she's not like she knows. He knows that she's a fraud.
Yeah,
but anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. So he allows her to go on the trip anyway. So she really wants to go on the trip because she has developed a crush for Leland. Which, Leland is such an old money name.
Yeah, it's, I'm thinking about this as it pertains to, like, all of these women obviously have sex. And, like,
yes.
That's not the best name. But she does have to exclaim it under her breath when he saves her from almost fucking falling off the train.
Yes, because she somehow breaks the, like, railing on the back of the train and almost falls to her death. Which is quite traumatic, but for not sure. The most traumatic thing that happens in this book. So they all get to Florida. Henry, still drunk. Diana has kind of decided that she's going to flirt with Grayson because she's got nothing better to do. And because Penelope is holding the reins tightly on her husband. She is gripping those reins. She's like, you're not getting anywhere. And she's lording this story over him about his relationship with Diana. Like, she is not letting this go. And she's like, you need to prove to everyone that we are in a good, healthy relationship, or I will tell about Diana. And I don't understand why he kind of doesn't just throw caution to the wind, because he does later in the book where he's like, it doesn't matter. No one's going to listen to you anyway.
Yeah, literally, like, his solution at the end of this Diana diet, like, whole thing that she's threatening is to be like, do it. I double dog dare you. It will actually look worse for you if you do, which is the same
thing
that
Elizabeth said.
Which it would have
in the previous book.
Yeah, she literally was like, if you tell everyone that I, like, slept with my horse coachman, it's just going to make you look bad. And then Henry pulls the same thing. And I'm like, it took you a book and a marriage to figure out that you should just say, I dare you.
Yeah. So hate that for them. Hate that for her, because I wish she would have gotten that earlier. But anyway, she is making Diana's trip pretty miserable, except for the fact that Diana has decided that she doesn't care and she's going to flirt with Grayson. So they're doing their little thing, kind of like setting the boys against each other, being like, I would like a lemonade. No, I would like a lemonade.
Yes, because Penelope has enlisted Grayson to flirt with Diana and then let him go, or like, and then to like toss her aside, to be like, oh, just play with her heart a little bit, see if like you can't get her to like fall in love with you.
Ugh.
And he's gross. Like, okay,
yeah, he's like, sure, fine. So they're doing that while Teddy and Elizabeth are becoming reacquainted. And what we always knew was that Teddy was always in love with Elizabeth. And we find out that he had proposed 2 years prior. And she had obviously said no because she was too young. Or, like, not out in society yet. I don't know why. But he basically insinuates that, like, that proposal is still up in the air if she wants it. And she is overwhelmed. For the right reasons, right? Like, her husband just died in her arms and nobody knows about it. And she's not allowed to talk about it with anyone. So she's upset, as you would be, at age 18.
She's not like, just upset, but she is sick over this. Isn't she
catatonic.
Sick over this, Claire?
She is. She is losing sleep. She is frail. Some would say, I don't know, like something is taking it out of her.
Yeah, she's fatigued. She is blaming a lot of this unweariness on motion sickness from the train.
Yeah.
Because she's like a feminine woman of high stature. And so she can't go that fast because then her uterus will just like slip around her body.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
If only it did, honestly.
Yeah, seriously. Bouts of dizziness. Even compounded on the fact she wakes up a morning after partying and finds herself rather sick to her stomach. Ominous. But anyway, we're going a little bit ahead of ourselves. Henry is trying to catch Diana's attention like this entire time, but Penelope, like I said, is watching him like a hawk. So he's not able to get away to talk to Diana until like the night of a party. And Diana has been gleaning information from Grayson to write her like little things. And she thinks she's being smart, but actually what she's doing is hurting herself because she's making Penelope double down. So she kind of says that like the servants are beginning to feel like the Mrs. Henry Schoonmaker is a little bit nervous about her status with her husband, and like she's already losing him. And that's mainly because Diana reports on that. And then instead of having like it worry Penelope just starts to double down. So she insists that Henry does not leave her side that day, which obviously hurts Diana's case. And so the only time he's able to get away from Penelope is when Diana has to like basically leave the room because she's just so overwhelmed. And she goes and she jumps in the ocean in her dress, which is like such like a manic pixie dream girl thing to do.
Yeah, she's like, I can only afford so many pairs of shoes, but I guess I'm going to go ruin them. And so she goes into the ocean and Henry follows after her. And then Penelope, seeing that Henry has abandoned her to go chase after his 16-year-old love interest. So Diana confronts Henry and is like, you just want me to be your mistress. And he's like, no, I'm going to leave my wife for you, which is something a guy cheating on his wife always says.
Wife but would okay. say. Yeah, yeah okay. exactly.
And so... Yeah. He goes up to his hotel suite to basically like tell Penelope, like, I'm leaving you. I'm going to figure it out, but I'm out of here.
Let it be known. He is, presumably, very intoxicated.
Oh, Henry's constantly. Very drunk. Yes. But so he goes up
there. But like
in this moment,
he's incredibly drunk.
But, and I'm not a big proponent of drunk actions or words or sober thoughts, but like, this is a crazy sequence. He goes up to the suite. He sees Penelope standing out on the terrace, where she's standing over a banister, which think back to Carolina standing at the back of the train car, almost falling to her death. Henry's like, mm-hmm. What if I pushed her though?
And then he goes to say, oh, I would never do that. So she starts to cry and he gets really uncomfortable when she starts crying. So what does he do? He kisses her.
And then he fucks her. You know, the classic thing you do after you cheat on your wife and then you think about killing her and then she cries to manipulate you and then you fuck her. That classic tale as old as time.
So when I was reading, okay, so I spoiled this for myself because I didn't know how fast I was going to be able to read this book and I wanted to make sure I could talk to all the major plot points. And so when I read the synopsis of this book, I was like, oh, he's definitely intoxicated and she takes advantage of him. Like, that's 100% what's going to happen, right? Like, that's the only thing that could happen. He loves Diana, obviously. And he's going to be so drunk that she's going to take advantage of him because Penelope would totally do that. Not that I like to, like, prescribe sexual assault onto anyone, but, like, Penelope is a bad person. So, anyway.
Yeah,
and that's not what happened, really. I mean, like, I would say in the game of consent, it wasn't a clear line by any means, but he basically is like, oh, I don't like when women get sad. I guess I should have sex with her.
I think in the most generous read of Henry's decision to have sex with her, which is not necessarily the right read, but if I'm being generous to him, one of the things that he really likes about Diana is how innocent she is. Keep in mind, she is 16. And so in Penelope's being driven to tears by his almost killing her, he sees a bit of that innocence and is like, oh, that is something that I like. And then he fucks her.
That's not a good read at all.
That's me being the most generous I can.
I don't know. I guess my thought would be is like he kisses her and then like just loses control because he's so drunk he doesn't know his decision making. And then in which case I think it's still a little bit of sexual assault on Penelope's part because she's sober. And
is she, though? I mean, they've both been drinking to that point about them all drinking all the time.
Okay. Okay. If she's not sober, she's definitely more aware of her faculties.
Let's sure. say that. Yes. She's aware enough to know that he definitely thought about killing her.
Yes, exactly. And to know the next morning that she has to try to keep up a ruse, that she's like trying to bait and switch him so she can get pregnant, which does not happen after one night.
I don't think that she, I don't think that she thinks about the pregnancy thing until afterwards, but she does want to like maintain this degree of closeness, especially since they have had sex before. So like clearly she knows that like he likes it and that she's good at it.
Physical, yeah.
And so as they wake up in the morning, it's like dawn. And Henry is out on the terrace where he almost killed his wife. And she goes out to him and puts her arm around him. And who is down below looking up at their terrace but Diana, who was under the impression that he was going to leave his wife, not fuck her.
Yeah. And this is the first time she's ever seen Penelope with her hair down around her waist. So she knows that something different happened. And so she is completely distraught and goes to her room, falls asleep, is unable to fall asleep. Her sister wakes up in the morning and has to run to the bathroom to puke multiple times. And when she comes out of the bathroom from one of her recent trips there, she sees that Penelope has let herself into their room somehow.
Well, she did pay for the room.
Anyway, bizarre.
Again, I'm not and excusing her weirdo behavior, but
she's weird. But anyway, so she has let herself into the room. Oh, Carolina is no longer there.
Oh, yeah. She had to leave because during the party, she got a wire from, or like a telegram or whatever that is.
I think it was the same thing.
That was basically like, hey, you have to come back to New York. Your Longhorn died.
Longhorn died and your maid's been fired. So like, come back and you're poor again.
Oops.
Oops. So she's gone. And so Penelope is there and she's witnessing Elizabeth be so ill. And Elizabeth's like, oh, I'm sorry. I think I just ate something. Something's not agreeing with me. And Penelope's like, actually, I think you might be pregnant. And Elizabeth's like, and Penelope later admits that she just tried to say the most hurtful thing possible. But then upon realization and looking at Elizabeth more, she's like, I may have been right. Which like, okay.
And there were hints to this as they all keep talking about how small their waists may or may not be. And it was about like the way that like Elizabeth was wearing certain clothes and stuff like that. But still, just another night.
And twist also Elizabeth being incredibly thin.
Yeah.
Which as anyone would be from the massive amounts of depression you would get from watching your husband die.
Anyway. And also there is still not like a ton of money in her house. So not like a ton of party food going around. Yeah.
They're not doing fantastic. So they get back to, they've all decided to leave New York. Also, she said no to Teddy's proposal. So he's upset. So he decides he's going to join the army.
Yeah. He's so upset that he leaves before the rest of the group leaves. He's like, I'm going back now and I'm enlisting ASAP because he isn't even necessarily upset. Like, I don't even know that upset is the right word.
No, he's motivated to earn.
He's under the impression that Elizabeth was kidnapped by her coachman and held captive and has overcome so much, which she has, but not that he knows. And Elizabeth even thinks about telling Teddy like really what has transpired. But she's like, you know, maybe when I'm feeling more comfortable with it, I will be able to share this with him because he has always been a good friend to me. And so he's like, I need to prove to Elizabeth that I can also do things. And so I'm going to go to war about it.
And he does. So they're all on the train back to New York. Pretty promptly. And I think this was supposed to be like 2 week trip, but it turns into like one day. Lame. But
it was definitely several days, but it was just everything felt like it happened really abridged. Fast.
And while this is all going on, Carolina is back in New York. She's been kicked out of the hotel. They took all her jewels away from her because they were like, no, this is property of his estate. This is not yours. But you can come to the will reading next week. And she's like, okay, fine. So instead, she has to go find Tristan.
Well, they do let her keep the couple of dresses that were made so perfectly to fit her that, like, nobody else could even wear them.
Yeah. So she goes to find Tristan, and Tristan has, like, a new benefactress who she has previously snubbed. And she gets a temporary job as the social secretary of this benefactress. And that does not go well for her because she has become all high and mighty in the meantime. And then She is like now so poor, she's trying to get a job at a dressmaker, and she stabs herself with her needle instead and like bleeds on the practice dress. And so she's like really feeling down and out. And she decides to go to this is the one part of the book that I actually really liked. She decides to go to the will reading, and she's like, maybe they will have left one thing for me. And she sits all the way through the end of the will reading, and it's kind of like a Knives Out moment where they find out that he left pretty much his entire will and estate, like funds and estates, to her.
What a flex, man.
It's pretty awesome. I loved it. So she finds out she's now like richer than, like, definitely richer than the Hollands, which is
not exciting. Saying much. Okay. But definitely it's richer, not saying much, but than the woman who
she's very wealthy.
Previously employed her, for sure.
Yes, exactly. So she's very, very wealthy. She goes and she says to Tristan that she's going to take him out to lunch. She's got like, because she has the home and the apartment. She's everything. And so, like, you go, girl. Anyway.
Yeah, go piss, she's girl. Doing,
exactly. She's doing fine and dandy for herself. Person who's not doing fine and dandy is Elizabeth, because she realizes that she is, in fact, in the family way, as she so says to her mother.
I hate the way that she's, I get that, like, that is what they probably would have said back in this time. But, like, the way that she says it to her mother is so stupid.
Yeah, it's bad. And her mom's like, okay. I do appreciate that her mother, like, wasn't immediately, like, reproachful and angry. She was more like, okay, problem solving, because that's totally what I would do. Because I'd be like, okay, well, we either have to find you a husband really, really fast, or we have to get this taken care of somehow. And, like, she's right. And she, like, doesn't really, she's not, like, upset with her daughter. She's just like, this is, I mean, she says, like, oh, this is the end of our family. But, like, she's been saying that for months, so I'm not,
she
like,
she is upset like enough to be like, you have gravely disappointed me, and I never thought that it would be you. And, like, those are pretty biting words.
But she had said that 2 months prior when she showed up with Will. So, like, I don't know. I feel like at that point it would have been less stinging. But, so she tries to go find Teddy to be like, okay, wait, maybe I can marry Teddy now. That'll save the day. And find out that Teddy has already been sent to the Philippines.
Which, so like, so fast. Like, he so enrolls fast. in the army. And they're like, and okay, bye. Goes. You gotta go.
Yeah. And he's an officer, too. So, like, okay.
Yeah, because he was in the what, scouts?
Yeah, in prep school.
In the baby army?
I don't know. ROTC version of that. But anyway, she then it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I guess her mom tries to take her to get in a, I don't know if we can we say that on the podcast?
What? Oh, to get an abortion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can say abortion.
Okay, yeah. So her mom takes her to get an abortion, and she's like, you know what? I can't do this. So she gets home and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to raise this baby. And then it turns out she doesn't have to because Mr. Snowden Cairns.
I keep like, waiting for the other shoe to drop for him. Because
I think,
like,
we'll get a shoe because his last name is literally Cairns, and a cairn is what you bury people in.
I mean, but we haven't been super metaphoric at this. Maybe we haven't. I just haven't noticed it. But
I don't think that's metaphoric. That's pretty literal.
I meant like using the name as like the, but.
Fair. I don't know. Maybe it'll being, wrap up in the end.
He makes the self-sacrificing move to give up the potential of marrying anybody so that he will marry her, which if he was her dad's business partner, he's old. So,
well, they say he's significantly younger than her father, but he's like somewhere in his mid to late 30s.
Yeah, so like, he's like, still he's old.
He's much older than her. He's not young by any means, but he's not that old yet. I don't know. It's not that bad. He's being very kind. So they get married.
And she moves into his place, which is a full floor apartment in a much further north part of New York City than her mother ever thought anyone with their last name would ever live. And they do like a celebratory toast. So I guess you can drink when you're pregnant in this day and age.
Good yeah, to know. I mean, that's what, have you seen Mad Men?
No.
Oh, you need to watch that show. You'd like it actually a lot. But Betty Draper drinks like all through her pregnancy on the first season. She drinks and she smokes.
But yeah, so Elizabeth is like, it's just, you know, strange that up until this point, I was technically Mrs. Elizabeth William Keller. And yeah. Snowden basically is like, yeah, no, totally you were, as though like he actually didn't marry them legally, which is okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't know what consequences there would really be to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there are consequences to other actions, though. That being that Penelope has decided she's going to tell everyone that she is pregnant after having had sex with Henry one time. And Diana has also told Henry that she's done with him. So he is now so upset. And what really puts the nail in the coffin is that Grayson has decided that he is in love with Diana. And this harkens back to me for private, back to Reed being like
magical having vagina. A
golden pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Diana is 16. She cannot be that experienced, which I guess is the allure. But like, okay.
Yeah, so it's not even like golden vagina because like they've had great sex, but it's like the promise of it. So before get to Grayson falling in love with her, Penelope is like, you did not accomplish what I tasked you to do on this Florida trip, which was to get Diana to fall in love with you and then toss her aside like a piece of crap that she is. So what I'm going to do now is I will pay off your gambling debts, which I know are huge, if you ruin her and then let everyone know that you fucked her. Like a dirty skank.
Exactly.
And he's says, like, nah, I will no try. Thanks. And then they go out one time and then he's like, actually pass because I love her.
But he does fuck her in public. So
in semi-public. It is ass. In their house, which is not necessarily public. And it is in a coat closet, which is also slightly private. But it is at a party where Penelope announces her quote unquote pregnancy, quote unquote.
It's public enough that Henry saw it. Eek. So what does Henry do? Henry does what Teddy does.
He goes to the army about the it. Army. Yeah, he's like, I guess I'm going to go be in the army now.
Which when you think about it, like, remember Nate Archibald, like, went and spent a summer on a boat with that guy and was like, maybe I'll join the Navy. It's like, what are they, with these men, like, just running from their problems?
Anyway. It's because they watch these military movies with their dads and they're like, I could do that. I could live this romantic-ish life. And it's like, that's not what it is.
It's really not, like, you don't have to kill people in your life to have a girl fall in love with you. Anyway, he writes this, like, really long love, like, forlorn letter to Diana, basically being like, I know I've hurt you, I saw you with Grayson, so that is why I must leave, I will never deserve you. And this is the best part of these books. What does Diana do? She cuts all her own hair off and pretends to be a boy to join the army.
Yeah, she's like, I love this man so much. I will pretend to be a dude to go full on Mulan. She's like, I will be Mulan.
And that's it. But it's so great. You think they're not going to do like a check to see if you're a girl? They're not going to like make you get a physical?
Part of this whole thing is about how teeny tiny your little waist is and how big your boobs are, so...
And how voluptuous you are. Yeah, I was like,
yeah, what? I'm sorry. You look like a girl.
I don't know.
It's...
But...
This is so... How easy do you think it was to back out of the army if you were rich like this back then? Like, obviously not if you were poor, but, like, if you were rich, could you just be, like, actually psych?
I don't know, because the thing is if you're in the Philippines...
Well, I don't think they, like, it takes them, like, 2 days to get to Florida, so I feel like it would take them a while to get to the Philippines.
I know, but, like, at what point are they backing out?
I think that she's gonna see Henry when they're, like, at the...
Like, in California or something?
Train station or something, and then they're gonna be like, actually, we're rich, never mind, we're out of here, this sucks.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
So in each of these books, they do this like prologue where they talk about what happens at the end of the book before the book starts.
I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I actually skipped the prologue this week because I was like, I don't want to know what happens at the end because that has started to really bug me because last book, I felt like it gave too much away. So I did skip the prologue this week.
Well, I have not because they sort of like – give little hints to who certain people will be, but like they're not like, and then Penelope did this and then Elizabeth did this. They're like, and then this woman is not in bed with her wife or like with her husband or whatever. And so I do read it because I'm like, I wonder who this will be because like Elizabeth got married in this book. So like, you know, it could have been about so-and-so. But as Diana, they do name Diana explicitly in the prologue as being the only person who is where she's supposed to be. And they describe her cutting all her hair off. And I was like, oh no, she went crazy. How are they going to?
She did go crazy.
I mean, like, but she did go crazy. Like, cutting all your hair off to join the army after a guy you slept with one time is just, I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy.
I don't know, Courtney. I don't think you'd cut off your hair and join the army. I don't think you'd cut your hair. I do think maybe you could be convinced to join the army.
My mom was in the army. Nothing will convince me to join the army. That shit sucks.
Yeah, fair. We should ask your mom if she was convinced to join the army by a man.
She was, well, the recruiters were men, so yeah. But that's not why she joined. She joined because she like was kicked out of the house and she was like, I got to have somewhere to go.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, but that was this book. I would have to say this one was my favorite so far in the series. I thought it was great. I mean, it was insane, but it was great.
Yeah. I'm so interested in seeing how this will all get wrapped up in the last book, you know?
I because next book is the last book, like, which is wild. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you wrap all this up. Like, they joined the army.
Well, like, each of these books is long enough that I feel like we do get a lot of stuff.
Yes, but I feel like we're going to have a really, like, good chunk of time between the ending of this book and the beginning of the next book, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we had 2 months between the last two, but I think we're going to have more going forward.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Courtney, do you want to tell me your fashion moment from this book?
Yes. My fashion moment is Diana's bathing costume. I was thinking a lot about them wearing bathing suits in Florida at this time, because apparently it's like you wear black stockings with like a garter and you have to like unclip the garter and like roll them down, and like it's a full length, like it's basically like a jumpsuit made of not waterproof material. And I'm like, how do people not drown all the time? But
beats me. I don't know.
In this passage, Diana is suddenly acutely aware of all the things that were amiss in her appearance, for she was far shorter than Penelope, and her hair was always in a state, and the bathing costume she wore, which was navy with white edging and anchors embroidered on the wide sailor collar, was not even a little bit smart. She had been so thankful and appreciative when Claire had remade it from her old suit, which had been purchased for her a long time ago, it seemed, certainly before her father died. Her body had changed since then, and she even knew that the remade version looked like the getup of a little girl. So she's wearing not only an old-fashioned bathing costume to our eyes, but it's old-fashioned to them because it's from when she was a child and before she got boobs, which will make her impossible to be in the army.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think the bathing outfits were great. I, however, went with a different Diana outfit, which was her outfit for the New York City Automobile Society ball hosted by Leland Bruchard at the beginning of the dress. I mean, the beginning of the book. So the long black chiffon skirt of her gown trailed behind her as she approached the entrance, and she batted her fan open to modestly cover her face. She always did this when Bernard escorted her because they discussed everyone in detail, and so it was prudent to obscure the view of her mouth from any chance lip readers. Her hair was drawn into a bun in the back, and her curls descended diagonally on either side of her forehead toward her ears. A black leather belt marked the narrowness of her waist, and at the middle point of her princess neckline was a flower made of ivory lace petals. The gown was new, and she had paid for it herself. She glanced back once to be sure no one had noticed her slipping away from her chaperone, and allowed herself to be drawn across the creamy marble floor of the second-story mezzanine. I was like, she is woman. She is fierce.
I love,
like,
the fan. The fan is great. I do want to talk about briefly just a couple of pull quotes that I thought were particularly hilarious in this book.
I also highlighted a lot of quotes, so I want to hear yours.
So the first one that I have is Diana thinking about the people who work at the resort. And she sits there after the party and she thinks to herself, there was something wrong to her about seeing so many black people serving so few whites. And though she knew it wasn't slavery anymore, it seemed nearly as bad. And I was like,
woke.
You really got okay, me there, Diana. I mean, we talked about this in the last episode a little bit about how, like, the people in this book know people who own slaves, like they just based on their ages and stuff, like they know that. And it feels like the author was desperately trying to be like, okay, so we know that there are no black people in this book, and we know that all these people did know people who own slaves, but like this one is a good person.
Yeah,
don't worry. And then another quote is when Henry is talking to the soldiers, or is talking to Teddy about Teddy enlisting in the army.
Uh-huh.
He can say several more profound responses, something like, my God, or bravo. What he did finally say was, but you could die.
I heard that. I was like,
you got me there, Henry. That's a good point.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, so that's
just, one I highlighted that I thought was good was Penelope had hurried straight upstairs because she couldn't stand the idea of seeing her parents, who were so stupid and useless and who had caused her so much pain by not giving her a more tasteful and established family to begin with. Sometimes she felt like a changeling of the most elegant variety. She's mad at her parents for having given birth to her?
Well, for being so poor and tasteless.
But they're, I don't know. She's ridiculous.
You know,
anyway.
When you're like, oh my God, I must have been adopted when you're like a child.
I never had those feelings.
Oh. Is it because you look a lot like your siblings and family?
I look a lot like my dad, so I knew that was not a thing. But also, I definitely felt like, I don't know, I don't feel like I stood out from that my family that much. Like, I wasn't that different from anyone. I definitely felt like, this is really bad, but I sometimes wish that, like, I had had a different sibling.
I just mean, like, you know how sometimes you'll be like, wow, if only it were the case that, like, I actually have, like, a royal family member, and it turns out that, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Another thing I highlighted was the chapter about the thing about the Hollands not liking spice in their food.
Oh, yeah, these white people do not like spice.
The Hollands, like, all the old Dutch families, well, there's a reason for this, and I'll bring it up. So the Hollands, like all the old Dutch families, believed in everything in moderation and disliked strong tastes of any kind. She'd often wondered, this is Carolina, had often wondered what it would be like to eat food outside of their narrow tastes. But then, of course, she had been taken under wing by an older gentleman whose stomach could not handle anything very strong. So she'd never been able to find out. This was really funny to me because I'm spending the week with my in-laws in Connecticut, who I love very much, but are very much of like the old WASP variety. And we had chicken a la king for the first time the other day, and I'd never had it before. And tasted like wallpaper paste. It had no and I was like pouring hot sauce on it, and that's what I do with most of my meals, is I just put a ton of hot sauce on them. But it was very entertaining to me because it felt very accurate and attuned to this excerpt as well.
I agree.
But yeah, do you have anything else?
That was it for me. I just found those passages humorous, and I definitely am nervous about Snowden, and you know, Diana thinks to herself when she discovers that Elizabeth is pregnant that she wonders whether or not she got pregnant from Grayson, and it's gonna really suck if she and Grayson have to get married and then Penelope has to like have Diana
there's
as her
no
in-law
way
for the
there's
rest of her
no
life.
Way there's no way absolutely not no am I gonna go ahead and read I feel like I need to read the Splendor synopsis now just to spoil it for myself.
I don't know, we'll have to see. Claire, what are your in and your out for this week?
Okay, so my State of the Union, my in for this week is marinating, and I'm going to elaborate on that.
Yeah,
so,
I was gonna say, like, what do you mean other than unseasoned food?
No, I went into the city this week. I mean, okay, went to the city this week and I went to the Goop store, which anyone who knows me knows that I love Goop. I've got a Gwyneth Paltrow obsession. And I got these bath salts that are like super fancy, super fancy. And I took a nice long hot bath yesterday with my new bath salts. And I marinated myself, basically. I was like marinating.
Great.
And then I got out and David got me some new face stuff for Christmas. So I put some stuff on my face and I marinated myself a little bit. So that is my in, is marinating. It's just kind of, it's my like term for like soaking things in, like taking my time to like take care of myself.
For sure.
So that's my in. Mm-hmm. And my out is Grinches. People who want to poop on your holiday spirit. That is the out for the week because they stink. And let people like things. It does not hurt you at all to let people enjoy their own stuff around the holidays.
For sure.
Their own traditions do not affect you. You're not being forced to do anything. So anyway, Courtney, tell me about your in and your out for the week. What is your State of the Union?
My in, I'm going to go with holiday spirit. I actually, you know what? I'm going to get more specific than Holiday. No, you know what? I am going to go with Holiday Spirit. Holiday Spirit in general has been really great. I love the Christmas movies. I love the animal feeling of opening gifts. I love seeing yes. someone open a gift that I got for them and like knowing that they actually did really like it. I did a holiday comedy show on the day after Christmas, and I got to drink hot chocolate spiked with peppermint schnapps. I was wearing a cute little outfit with red lipstick. I was told that I look like a Hallmark movie rom-com protagonist, which was great. And then I brought mistletoe with me, and then we all went out to a bar around the corner afterwards, and I just made everybody kiss. And I don't just mean people in our group. I mean like strangers. I was like, you two, kiss. It was great.
Which is like your favorite thing because you love Valentine's Day. So
yeah, I love Valentine's Day. Oh, I had like 4 candy canes. It was just, I was hopped up on sugar and peppermint schnapps and it was a cash only bar. And I don't know, the whole thing was a nightmare. And I was a Christmas nightmare. I'm probably someone's worst nightmare. And I think we may have all gotten mono.
You have to say your in is Christmas nightmares now.
Yeah, Christmas nightmare. It's in.
Anyway, what's your out?
My out is going to be how cold it's been in Chicago. I literally thought I was going to die.
At one point, okay, I saw it was -2 as a high one day. And David was like, you should text Courtney and see if she's okay.
It was so bad. I was like, I will. The heating in my apartment broke. So I had to like straight up leave. And I had to submit a maintenance request because it was like, this is obviously unacceptable. I was getting emails from my Nest thermostat that were like, hey, there's a critical heating issue in your apartment. I was like, no shit, Sherlock. And then yesterday, my apartment building decided that they were going to replace all of the water in the building. Keep in mind, I'm not really like a maintenance person, so I don't really know what it is that they did. But they took all of the water out of the building and then they had to put it all back in. And that took, it was supposed to take from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they were like, oh, we're going to have bottled water up at the front desk for everybody, like if you need it. And that was, you know, great. And I spent most of yesterday in bed anyway, so like I didn't really need all that much. But then I went downstairs and I got a bottle of water and I was like, hey, it's, you know, about 3 o'clock. Like, when do you think this is going to be done? And they were like 4 or 5 at like the earliest. And then it wasn't until like after 5 that it got done. And then I still didn't have any hot water. Like I had water, but I didn't have hot water. They were like, it's going to take a while for it to heat up. And so I couldn't take a shower last night, even though I had spent most of the day in bed. And so I kind of wanted one to refresh myself.
Ugh, yeah.
And it was just, it's too cold to not have heat, and that applies for both water and air.
I agree. I agree with you on all fronts. So hopefully it's back on and good today.
Yeah, I used my kitchen – or not my kitchen, my bathroom sink today, and my water got hot. So thankfully that's good.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Well, happy to hear it.
That felt like not, it feels like a lot of energy has just been expended.
Well, I mean, we did just talk for like an hour and a half. Yeah. Not, you know, counting the chat that we always do beforehand. But if you guys like listening to our chats, you can help us chat other places. You can find us on our socials, Twitter at WittyPod, Instagram at WittyCommitteePod, TikTok at TheWittyCommittee. Our website is thewittycommittee.com. You can shoot us an email. wittycommitteepod@gmail.com. Next week, we will be reading the final book in the Lux series, ending this little mini series. The final book is Splendor. Let's hope they wrap everything up. But until then, we hope you guys join us as we continue to judge the Mean Girl right back, one book at a time.
Slay.